What's up, everybody? Nate Sarantino here, back with another episode of the Freethinkers Emergence Podcast. And today I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Carly. Carly, say hi to everyone.
Hello.
And Carly and I have been through a lot of traumatic experiences through our life, and we're going to talk to you all about how we've made it through these traumatic experiences and how it's made us into better people. So, with further ado, Carly, I guess, like, kind of briefly introduce yourself. People know a decent amount about me, but, like, what have you been up to? So, this way people have an idea. I guess so. I don't know.
You mean, like, my life?
Yeah.
I mean, I just graduated. And
nice. So, you, like, graduated high school?
Yeah, after. But, obviously, I went through a lot in high school. Nice. Like, everyone has.
Yeah. So, like, what's one thing that really helped you make it through, like, really traumatic experiences? Or what's a few things?
Honestly, even though a lot of people don't want to talk about what they've been through, I feel like having someone to talk to really just helped. Even if, like, I took it for granted at one point, you really realize it, like, more in your life that you really needed that, and that it helped you out a lot.
I feel that, like, communication is so key in everything. And, like, in every relationship, communication is the thing that, like, helps people build and cultivate, like, long-lasting relationships. And when you can't communicate how you feel, whether that's, like, a good thing or a bad thing, like, whatever experiences you've gone through, it's good to be able to communicate that with other people, because if you hold everything inside, like, no one will know what you've been through. I think the reason that we go through these experiences is so we can teach other people, like, how to handle them similarly, which is why I decided to, like, do this podcast in the first place. I was like, well, we've both been through a lot of different things, and maybe we can help other people going through similar experiences. So I guess, like, getting into that, like, what are some things that, like, you went through that, like, were tough? Anything you don't want to share, you don't have to.
I'm actually fine with sharing anything, because I know, like, if someone does watch this and they went through the same thing, or they're going through the same thing, it might actually help them out.
Yeah, it might be the thing that saves their life. For real. You don't know, like, some people might be, like, literally on the verge of, like, suicide. And, like, I know we both have been through our own moments like that. Yeah. And, I think, like, the only way to stop people from going down that dark path is, like, to talk about how you feel. You know, I just saw a law passed the other day. I forget what state it was, but it was, like, a town somewhere. And there was this, like, middle school that banned kids from wearing all black clothing.
You're lying.
No shit. And you can fact check me if you look it up. And
I'm sorry.
Do it, please. I forget what state it was. I saw it on Instagram from I think it was Valuetainment, and it, like, really, like, shocked me, because I was, like, thinking about, like, I know, like, freedom of speech is important, especially for children. Yeah, what did you find out?
It says Charles Middle School, part of the El Paso Independent School District, cited student mental health concerns when it announced its new dress code's ban of black outfits.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
What happened to blackout bullying? Like, that was, like, a whole thing in elementary school and middle school, where we wore black to symbolize that, like, we don't like bullying.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Yeah. That's great.
You didn't know about blackout bullying?
No, I never did that. I don't know. I was, like, elementary school, I was a mess. I was, like, a very aggressive person.
Same.
Yeah, I felt like it was, like, the only way to defend myself, because I always was, like, smaller than the other people. So, like, to make up for, like, the physical size difference, I, like, would make my personality bigger, and I would be more aggressive towards other kids. And that's how I would, like, deal with, like, people. And I guess, like, let's start on this path of, like, bullying and whatnot. Like, that's, like, the first, like, trauma that I went through was, like, in elementary school, like, being picked on for, like, just always being, like, the small person. And, like, I wasn't even that small. It was just, like, I was always really short. And even, like, I always felt, like, a disconnect between, like, my peers. I never really had, like, a friend group. And I was always bouncing between different groups. And I, like, always wanted to have, like, my clique. And I just never really clicked with anyone. Until, like, I started, like, I was always, I would, like, have friends, like, I played hockey with, but it wasn't, like, anything too deep. It was just, like, a hockey relationship.
A sport relationship.
Yep.
I mean, in elementary school, I was that kid that was always left out.
Damn.
And I bullied people because they just, I don't know, maybe because I wanted to be seen, I wanted to be cared about. I was the kid that everyone hated.
That's how I feel too.
They left me out of everything, and even going into middle school, I never had a group of friends, and I never had a best friend because I don't know, they just never liked me, and it made me feel awful. And it's because I had very bad anger issues, but then we found out that all my tantrums and stuff were caused from my ADHD that we just was undiagnosed.
Really? I just made a video the other day. I haven't posted it yet, but it's about how ADHD is caused by excess sugar and, like, processed sugars in children. So, like, now how everything is, like, full of sugar, and, like, when you eat an absurd amount of sugar and you can't control, like, you have too much energy and you don't know what to put it towards, and now you lack the ability to focus, and, like, you can't sit down, and it's, like, that attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's, like, literally, like,
ADHD.
Yeah, you, like,
big words.
You can't focus at all. Yeah. But I think it's rooted in, like, too many sugars in people, especially, like, the everything's just full of sugar. I used to eat so many Cosmic Brownies. I'd bring, like, a box of Cosmic Brownies for lunch.
What did those taste like?
I'm
allergic.
They're this literally like sugar bombs.
Just sugar.
Basically, it's like a brownie, but the main ingredient is sugar.
Oh.
And they're like very processed.
That was another thing that that people separated me from was my allergy.
Damn, that's crazy. You were probably like at one of those kids at the peanut table.
Oh, I was. Yeah. I was one of those kids.
That's so tough. I always felt so bad for those kids, and like, I was like, damn, like, they're, like, one step away. Ah, it sounds so bad, but, like, they're, like, one step away from, like, dying. Like, they do eat one wrong thing, and all of a sudden, it's, like, anaphylactic shock.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, for real, like, that's why, like, I've always been, like, shit, like, we need to be careful, and, like, it's really important for, like, certain people to, Having kids that have allergies, and like being bullied for having allergies, first of all, is terrible. Being bullied for things that are bullying is terrible, but when you get bullied for things that are out of your control, like in middle school, I was bullied for the sound of my voice and for how tall I was, and I was like, oh, fuck, like it's tough. Like, it toughens you up. There's nothing you can do.
You're not that tall.
I'm not. I never will be. I'm 5'7".
Oh, okay, so they bullied you for you being short or you being tall?
Yeah, for being short.
Oh, I thought you meant, okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, wait, but no, I wasn't, no, people don't bully me for being tall. If they did, that would be fucking crazy. for real. Like, what's something, like, besides, like, allergies and, like, you kind of being, like, the one left out, so looking for attention? Because I also did that. Like, do you know any other reasons, like, people, like, bully each other? Like, what do you think the root of, like, bullying is?
I know a lot of people bully people because a lot of people say, oh, because they're jealous of you. And people are like, oh, no, how could they ever be jealous of me? I was so jealous of every single person that I have ever bullied. Well, in elementary school. Other people, if they were just awful people, I'm going to be mean to you, too. Because if you're mean to me, I'm mean to you. But
felt that
in elementary school, I was so jealous because everyone just had someone, and it was mainly the popular kids. They all had someone. Even the kids that people thought were the losers had someone, and I was just that one person that had no one. And I was just so jealous that everyone liked them and that they had all these friends. And like, I've spent Halloweens not having people to go trick-or-treating with. I've spent birthdays alone waiting for anyone. Like, I've invited my whole class or my whole grade, and no one showed up.
That's so sad. I'm so sorry.
And included, like, other people's birthday parties I was never invited to because of my allergy, like, because they'd have, I would not be able to eat the cake, I would not be able to eat the pizza, like, donut and pizza parties in school. I've always been left out because I can't eat it. They'd be like, bring an apple, or here's a Rice Krispie treat, and I'm like, why the hell would I want to choose a Rice Krispie treat over a donut party or a pizza party?
Oh, damn. That's so tough. I don't know, like, how many people have these allergies. So, you have, like, celiac disease. It's basically, like, your stomach is, like, really... And it inflames very easily from certain foods.
No. So, what I've learned... Well, at the beginning, when I first had it, a lot of people did not have it. I was born with it. But now it's more common. Celiac disease is... It's just this disease where you don't have the right enzyme to digest gluten. So it just destroys your small intestine lining. And it makes you, like, regurgitate everything. Like, you can't digest a single crumb. And if you eat, like, a whole pizza, your small intestine lining can get so damaged where you can it can even cause internal bleeding.
Damn.
So I can die from literally eating a pizza.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Saying that makes it worse.
Really?
Yeah, being like, oh, I feel so bad for you. Your life must suck.
Well, I don't think your life sucks because of it. I think you have, like, I think you have a lot of gifts. I think you're very special. It's like... Special. We've been talking more for the last, like, several... Probably, like, a few days now, yeah. And we were like, the first thing you said to me when I told you I had a podcast was like, I want to be on the podcast. And like, I was like, I wonder what we could talk about. Cause like, I don't normally have guests, but like, if like I can come up with like a legitimate topic that like will help people, and I know like my whole podcast is on self improvement, and I like my life focuses on like mindset coaching and consciousness and upgrading your life through like changing the way you see the world around you. Mm-hmm. And if you can take like some of the experiences that me and Carly have been through and like apply them to your life, and like, you know, maybe you are that bully. Like, there's not really a lot of kids watching this, but like, bullying doesn't stop out of like high school or college. Like, there's always going to be those people who think they're better than other people, and they're just like I mean, the first example that comes to my mind is, like, someone like George Soros. It's, like...
Who's that?
He's, like, one of these people who, like, quote... Like, the quote from him is, like, he fancies himself as a god. And, like...
So you.
Yeah, but, yep. Like, I think it's more, like, everyone's, like, a walking in the flesh, like, made in the image of God kind of idea. Where, like, we all at, like, our highest level are, like, capable of creating.
Idea.
Thank you for pointing that out.
This is how bullying works.
That you know how long when I was in high school hockey, everyone, they would ask me to say certain words because I couldn't say them right. And it would be like fun for them to like listen to me talk. And now like I do this shit for fun and people still, they're like doing that. It's awesome. I love it. Anyways, so... Moving off of like bullying, like how is like some of the other things that you've been through? So like we both have been through a bit of emotional abuse. Me, not as much as you.
Yeah.
Like, what's emotional abuse like?
I mean,
describe it for someone who maybe hasn't had that experience.
That's the thing. You don't realize that a lot of people actually do have that experience. A lot of people have been through that and they don't realize it because they don't realize, hey, that's, they're emotionally abusing me. They're manipulating me. They're making me feel lower than I should. I was always put down. It was by an ex I had. He was both emotionally and physically abusive. I was not even a freshman, and he was a senior. and
them.
Yeah, he just kept putting me down constantly. And he made it seem like it was always my fault and that I was a bad person. And I hate when people call me a bad person now. He always made me feel like I was such an awful person, that I didn't deserve anything, that everything I did was a mistake, was wrong. And he just made me feel so little and so small just so that I would not leave him.
Wow, that's so fucked up.
That's not even the start of it. And then I didn't realize. I was like, oh shit, he's physically abusing me too. I didn't realize that until July 4th, 2019. He used to always grab me by my arms, like right here like that, grab both my arms like that, and just scream in my face.
Oh, yo, what? I'm so... oh my gosh, yeah, that's cool. Just
scream in my face, scream at me, being like, you're such an idiot, why would you do this? Why do you have to make me so angry? He had awful anger issues, and now I'm scared of people with anger issues. But on July 4th, 2019, he took it too far. We went to this place, I think it's in Woburn, it's called, oh my god, Pat's Peak. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Pat's Peak is not in Woburn, though.
I don't know where it is.
Wait, this is like the ski area.
No, not Pat's Peak. That's a ski resort. Something Rock. It's Something Rock. It's this huge cliff, and it's... I don't know why I was thinking Pat's Peak.
That's all good. No worries.
It's a huge cliff.
I get it.
And people spray paint all over it. It's really cool. It has the most gorgeous view of Boston. I can never go there anymore now because I get flashbacks.
Oh, I bet PTSD is terrible.
But we'll went talk there. About that later. Yeah, we went there to look at, like, to watch the fireworks for the 4th of July, and they have been drinking. It was me. We're just gonna call him Jeff. It was me, Jeff, Jeff's friend Sam, and Sam's girlfriend, like Marissa. I don't know any people named these people.
Yep.
But, Sam was driving. And Marissa was in the front. Me and Jeff were in the back. everyone was drunk. I was, well, except for Sam. But Jeff was so drunk that I'm scared of drunk people now. I'm scared of people when they're drinking. He was just, he was so angry. There was this group of people that was also on the cliff, the rock. And they kept looking at me weirdly. And I was not liked by anyone in the town surrounding. Nobody liked me. I was just a bad person in their eyes because of rumors, which we'll talk about later, obviously.
Wow.
But they keep looking at me, and he wants to start a fight with them. It's like a group of girls. It is a group of girls, and he's starting to scream at them, being like, what the fuck are you looking at? Like, why the bleep are you looking at us like that? What do you want? Like, do you have a problem? He was, like, wanting to get in an altercation. And
this is juicy.
I was like, can you please, like, I'm like, Jeff, please, like, babe, just calm down. It's fine. Everything, we could just leave. And he's like, no, why the bleep are they looking at you like that? That's so not okay, blah, blah, blah. He was drunk, so he was so angry. And next thing I know, he pushes me to the ground, pushes me off of him after I'm trying to calm him down. And I'm terrified at this point. So I'm running down, like, it's a cliff, it's a hill. I'm running down the hill back to the car, and it's like, it's a distance. So I'm running for it. It's like something you would see in a horror movie. Like, I'm running down the hill, terrified, crying, and he's following me. He's screaming my name, and I'm just, like, absolutely terrified. And then he catches up to me, in this little patch of woods right near the car, right near our opening, because it's like on a cul-de-sac. That's how you get to the cliff. And he pushes me up against a tree. He starts screaming in my face. He grabs my hood, chokes me with it, keeps doing that, pushing me to the tree, picking me by my hood, pushing me to the ground, like bruising me. And because it's not like soft. It's not moss. It is rocks. Yeah. All there is rocks, dirt, sticks. And he's just doing this over and over again. And then I like am just bawling my eyes out. I'm bruised all over. And he still to this day does not realize that he was abusive. But he then leaves and he's like, fine, whatever, screw you. I was trying to do you a favor. You're an awful girlfriend. This is all your fault. If we break up, it's your fault. Like, manipulating me.
They call that gaslighting.
You know what I mean? But, like, yep. That's emotionally abusive. And he goes back up the hill to go talk to Sam and Marissa. Then, next thing I know, Marissa comes running down. She's looking at me. She sees me bruised, crying. She's like, oh, my God. Because they knew he had anger issues, but they did not know that
it was that bad.
It was that bad.
Yo, that's wild.
And she puts me into the car, and I'm terrified. I'm like, please, just bring me home. I'm scared. And I'm just terrified at this point. And she goes back up. She gets Sam. She tells him what's happening. Sam comes down. Marissa and Jeff are at the top of the cliff. Sam comes down. He starts the car. He tells me he's going to drive me home, that we cannot leave Jeff. He needs to come too. And I was like, I'm scared. Just keep him away from me. And they did. He was sitting. But no, they didn't actually. Now that I'm remembering it, they put him in the back seat with me.
I was going to say.
They put him in the back seat with me. She sat in the passenger side. Sam was driving. Jeff was right next to me. And there was me right next to Jeff on the other side, crying, terrified, like bundled up against the door, so scared, and I'm shaking, and he's silent. It scares me. But he then, out of nowhere, grabs me like this, grabs me like that, pulls me close, like he's digging his nails into my arm, and just starts screaming in my face, this is all your fucking fault. You ruined everything. We were having such a good time, but you had to be a baby. You had to ruin everything, screaming in my face. And then I screamed at him, I want to break up. I never want to see you again. And he was like, yeah, you say that now. You're going to want to get back together. You know you're nothing without me, blah, blah, blah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's so bad.
And then they dropped me off, and it took me a whole... I'm lucky that it only took me a year to finally tell someone about it. Because I didn't realize this was abuse. I did not realize this was physical or mental abuse until a year.
Yeah, this after like I this is just like a life experience.
Yeah,
I get I just, it.
I never knew until I, like, in health class one day we talked about abuse, and I was like, "Holy shit, that happened to me!" And I gave him another chance before that year happened. I gave him another chance. He did the same thing. And then he had a new girlfriend after 2 years, and he still tries to say that it's my fault and that I'm an awful person. And then we talked one last time. It was, I think, a year or two ago. We talked, and I was straight up with him. I was like, you abused me, and I don't care what you say. You abused me. I was a child. You were a legal adult, and I was a child, and you abused me.
And was he actually a legal adult? You said he was a 18. Senior.
He was 18. That's I was wild. Like 13 or 14. He was 18. And he then realized, he broke down on the phone, and he was like, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I never want you in my life again. And I want you to know that I will never forgive you.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, it's, I like to think that, like, it's good to forgive people, but, like, you don't have to forgive him. Like, that shit, like, it's gonna affect you for, like, as long as you allow it to affect you, basically.
I have permanent scars. Like, PTSD is just something you cannot...
Well, yeah, it's, like, mental scars.
Like, whenever I'm with my boyfriend, and he just... he's the sweetest person you'll ever meet. He would not lay a finger on me.
Mm-hmm.
But if he raises his hand... to even, like, just, even if it's to grab something, flinch. He has not noticed this because I try to hide it, but I flinch. And he comforts me. He tells me that he would never do anything like that to me. But I flinch because it's anyone. I'm just so scared that's going to happen to me again. And that's apparently deep. I just attract people that are, like a foot taller than me. So it's just, like, the guy, people are always, like, towering over me. So it just scares me even more.
Oh, yeah. It's like when you get face someone who's like way bigger than you, it's like, I don't know. It's tough. I commend you for what you, for making it through what you've been through. That's like, I don't think all abuse gets that bad, but I think abuse also gets worse.
Yeah.
So it's like yours is like you have a perfect story of like learning what it even feels like to be abused, or like how the, it's like you can't figure it out until like you talk to someone about it, and then all of a sudden you like start to like put together like one and two, and you're like, oh shit, like I see it makes three. And three is what they call abuse.
And that is exactly what happened. I just didn't realize it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm really glad that you're doing better now.
Oh, yeah. 100%. That was also the time that I tried killing myself.
That's normally what happens to someone who's being abused is they get... It's like when you shove someone into a dark corner and that the only thing that comforts them is even more darkness. And that's like the thing I say when someone's like suicidal and like they're already in a dark place and they start to become so comfortable with the dark that they want to escape at all sources of light. And they basically just like go darker and darker. It's the only way out is the light, where like you let out all the trauma, and like that's why I think like not only like having you talk to it about with me, but like you're gonna help so many people by showing them like this is like what it feels like, and this is like this is just one example of what it can be like. It's like I mean there is instances where I've been
I thought you wanted to test it out before you did that.
This is testing it out.
Mm. Oh, that shit just goes down.
It does.
There's you like sink.
Well, there's like little holes in the air pockets in it. So, when you make it through a traumatic experience, it can really make you a better person overall, because it gives you a new perspective to see the world. Now, a lot of people might look at other people worse, but you can now empathize with people who have been through other traumatic experiences, giving you the ability to feel what they may have felt. And that's why, like, even people listening to the story that you just said, it's going to give them the ability to, like, empathize with you, and they'll, like, be able to relate in some way. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think that's very accurate, in that, I mean, also a lot of people go through what I went through, but don't realize, like, that it was what I went through. They don't realize it was abuse until, like, you more mature more.
I think maturity comes from making it through hardships, whatever that hardship be. And, like, that's why, like, when young people, like, children go through really, really intense things at a young age, it matures them really quick, which is, like, one, loss of innocence, but two, it, like, it robs you of, like, your childhood, or, like, and I know, like, you're really into Scooby-Doo, and, like, we talk about that, and I'm like, oh, what, like, why is that, like, one of your things? And I like, suggested that it, like, it's, like, something that, like, brings you back to, like, childhood. And I think, like, for me, I was always really into, like, SpongeBob, and, like, even to this day, like, when I see that shit, I think it's funny. This, like, there's just, like, little things, like, you see clips of, like, or, like, memes, and, it's like, wow, I remember that. And it's just like little flashbacks into the past of like who you once were and before like all the shit happened. And that's why like I have a picture of me from when I was in seventh grade. Like that was right before like I got into vaping and right before like shit started to get real with like once I started vaping, I ended up smoking weed and then like everything started to become like crazier, like life started to become more real when I started to try new things that like weren't any no one else was really doing. And this is where like I head into addiction and how like me making it through all these different addictions has like made me mature a lot, and it's made me see the value of growing past like old habits and how what you once did and like overcoming whatever it is, like overcoming obstacles and being able to deal with the shit that you once did, like and the pain that was caused between relationships and everything else, like you have to learn to like love yourself again. And sometimes people can rob you of that self-love when you get abused.
Yeah,
thoughts on that?
I think everything you said was true. Yeah. It really does, and depending on when you get abused mentally or you start getting bullied, it really does make you have to mature faster. Like you said, my Scooby-Doo is kind of like, well, Scooby-Doo and then my dog Shaggy is kind of like my escape route, and I actually still got picked on for that because I'm like 18 and people see that I have a 12-inch Scooby-Doo sticker on the back of my car, or they see my Scooby-Doo wallet, and or they hear me talk about Scooby-Doo, and then they just give me these weird looks.
I honestly, so, like, people this, like, people hate people who are their authentic self.
Yeah.
Like, that's something I, like, really, I admire about you, is how real you are, and how you're, like, an authentic person. Like, there's too many fake people in this world, and, like, especially with, like, women and girls, like, in high school, it's, like, everyone's trying to find themselves, and then in college, people, like, are still trying to find themselves, and then you realize that, like, even out of college, like, these people still haven't found themselves, and, like, to be where you're at, and to, like, know what you care about, and know what you love, and to actually express it to the world without giving a fuck. Mm-hmm. That, like, other people are, you know, they're gonna judge you, but, like, you don't care what they have to say.
Yeah. But a lot of people still do judge at me, because, like, I went to a thrift store and I found, like, this, like, 15, actually bigger than that, like, a 3-foot Scooby-Doo stuffed animal, and I was running around looking for my boyfriend. I ran up to him, and I was like, oh my god, look what I found, because I was holding it in my hand. And some people were just looking at me weirdly, and I just didn't care. I was so excited that I found that, and I obviously bought it, but I
was so
happy. I was so happy.
I'm so happy for you. Yeah, so, like, it's crazy, like, getting back to, like, dealing and overcoming, like, traumatic experiences, like, no matter what it is, like, for me, most of my traumatic experiences were, like, self-inflicted, where, like, I would get, like, really high, and then, like, I'd have to deal with, like, talking to my parents and, like, talking to people of, like, importance, like, whether, I remember the first time I was, like, on a psychedelic and I had to talk to my parents on the phone, like, I'm, like, in the peak of, I'm not in the peak, but I'm, like, really high on LSD, and, like, my dad calls me. And I just remember looking at my phone and the negative energy I picked up just from my phone. And I was like, holy shit, like, I have to answer this call right now. And, like, what am I going to do? And it was just like, oh, like, I have no choice. Like, and I talked to him. And it was like, it was scarring to, like, see, like, this is what it can feel like when you're, like, you're in, like, a peak state of another, like, experience, and then, like, something or someone who, like, you care about, but, like, in the state that you're in, like, you're focused on the moment, and you're living in the moment, and then all of a sudden, like, things can get, like, thrown off, and it's, like, all these times that, like, I was really high, and, like, I had to talk to my parents, or, like, I had to talk to an employer, whatever it might be, it, like, these things changed the way, like, I saw the world, and now, as I've gotten older and made my own business, I start to look at it from the other side, where it's, like, what if I had a kid and they were the ones who were really high? They were the ones on the psychedelic. They were like, I was the employer, and my employee came in and they looked stoned as fuck. Like, I'd be like, it changes your perspective when you can see it from both sides. So, like, whether you're the abused or the abuser, like, trying to put yourself in both people's shoes to find, like, the highest outcome, where this is where, like, I'm always trying to figure out, like, how many perspectives can you look at a situation from? Like, what can you learn by moving yourself out of your shoes and putting yourself in someone else's shoes? Whether it's the other party who, like, it's, like, the duality of, like, one person and another person, or, like, a third-party perspective, like, from a bird's-eye view. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. These are, like, the things you can take from, like, the trauma, and, like, you can learn and really grow out of it if you change the way you see the situation. That's why reframing problems is really important. And if you, like, are trying to deal with PTSD, I think it's really important to try to figure out, like, as many perspectives of the situation that you went through as possible to help you build a well-rounded view of what you went through, to somehow grasp the concept that somewhere deep down in the person who was doing it, like, you have to figure out what their intentions were, and then, like, everything comes down to intentions in this world. Like, what are people's intentions? Why do they want to be around you? Why do they care about you? Like, what do they want? Like, you know, some people are looking for friendship, some people are looking for power, some people are looking for money. It's like, all these people are, like, looking for different things. I think at the highest level, like, you can look for truth and community, where it's, like, people who can relate. And that's why, like, the whole thing about, like, you remember the Me Too movement, where, like, all these people, like, started coming out about, like, being sexually harassed on, like, Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, having a community of people you can talk to about your trauma is really important. And you said earlier it took you, like, a year to talk about the things that you had been through. But once you started to talk about it, it made you feel a lot better, didn't it?
Yeah, and it actually made me realize that I did get abused.
Yeah,
for real. It took me forever to realize that I got abused. And then once I finally, like, felt like I could talk. And it's not that I could never feel like I could talk to my parents. I think it was more the fact that I was scared. Because watching your parents cry is never something that you like to do and like to watch. It feels awful having to see your parents in so much pain, knowing that you were in a lot of pain. And once I finally told her, she started crying. She did. She honestly started crying. My mom started crying. And she apologized that she was not there for me. And she helped me get over some of my PTSD, like my fear of loud noises. Now, they don't startle me as much. But it was also, like, people are like, oh, well, like, if you're in high school, you're always scared to talk to your teachers and stuff. Even though my health teacher is the reason why I found out that I got abused. We talked about it in health class, and was like, oh, shit, that happened to me. Well, I talked to her. Like, obviously, I didn't have proof, so there was really nothing I could do. I couldn't, not that I even would want to, because, again, that would ruin his life if I went and told the authorities about it. But I didn't have any proof to do so, and she just helped me and said that if I ever needed someone to talk to, I could talk to her. And
I got you.
Yeah, she never told anyone.
That's wild. Yo, what do you think about, like, is it worth ruining someone's life if they ruined your life? Like, do you, how, no, have you, this is, like, the fundamental of, like, being like a stoic, where like you choose, you give meaning to the people and the events in your life. So like how much meaning you want to give to something like this, but sometimes you can't help but give meaning to things. Where it's like when something really traumatic happens to you, like imagine for this, I like to always go to extremes, like we've been talking about like the abuse you went through, but like imagine you watch someone, like you're in war and your best friend dies beside you, and like you have to watch him like die and bleed out, like he doesn't die right away, and it's just like imagine like having to deal with that, and like you have to give meaning to this, like you have to give meaning to like his death. Sorry for the clock, everyone. But
I mean, you also do you can, a lot of people that have someone that they care about die right in front of them, blame themselves and be like, oh, well, I could have stopped it. I could have done all these things. It should have been me instead, not them.
It's like the survivor's guilt is so bad.
Yeah.
You're right. It's tough. Damn. It's real. So, besides that, I think people...
Oh, fuck.
It's hot.
Yeah, I realize. I don't know why I did that.
That's all good.
It just, those thoughts that you wanted, and you like you wanted to do it, those thoughts overcame me, and I just really fucking wanted to touch it for some reason. It looks soft.
Let it burn for a little bit longer, and it will go out. You'll be able to do it again.
Thanks. Don't let me do it again.
I'll show you. Yo, so, basically... Things are a lot better now, though.
Yeah, 100%. Because I now have, even though I don't have a lot of friends, actually, I don't really have any, because a lot of my friends only will talk to me when they need me, and, I mean, I'm not saying they're a bad friend for that. I get that they don't want all my emotional baggage to be on their shoulders, too, and...
Some people are better at handling other people's shit than other people.
Yeah.
Because some people let it bring them down, and other people can bring other people up. And it's a combination between, like, you need to know, you need to be, you can't help anyone unless you're truly your authentic self, and most people aren't their authentic self.
Besides me.
True.
Besides me.
Well, I mean... I have to say, there's a lot more authentic people I see these days, and it's more like what you focus on is what you get. But if you're not authentic yourself, you're not going to find yourself surrounded by authentic people, because, like, who you are is who you attract.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. So, like, whatever you think about, whatever you want to be, stuff like that, that's, like, that's the idea of the law of attraction. And so, like, if you, it's, like... If you are going through, like, negative experiences and you want things to get better for you, like, you have to think positively, and that's why reframing problems and trying to become a new version, and, like, I study Andy Elliott, and, like, he just came out a book called Recreate Yourself, and, like, you have to, like, look at yourself and look at who you want to be and not who you are, and then you have to figure out how you can make yourself from who you are now to who you want to be. And it's like every day you have a new chance to recreate yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't read his book, but I figure this is what he's talking about. Cause like,
you haven't read the book, but you're saying this is what the book was about.
Well, it's because I feel like I live by like the same principle of like every day you have a chance to make yourself a new version of yourself, whatever you want that version to be. And if you don't do it, someone else will create you. Everyone is always like, everything around you, including yourself, is influencing you. And the number one influencer should be yourself.
Yeah.
That's like being authentic, though.
Yeah.
If you let other people influence you more than you influence yourself, then you're not being your true authentic self. And it's all...
Did you read the ratings of the book, at least? So you've
I've only seen ads for it. But so
you don't know what the book's about.
No, but that's what I'm at.
That's what you're saying.
Then. Well, this is just what recreating yourself's about, in my mind. I bet you he has a whole nother take on it.
I'm just imagining, like, seeing a book with, like, a dog on it, and then, like, a sad dog, and then
well,
your mind is straight going to, that dog dies in that book.
Well, I have to say, I know his story, and I've been watching him and, like, listening to him for a while. Yeah. So it's like, when someone you know and respect comes out with a book about, like, probably the way they grew up and how they've changed their life.
Yeah.
You know, at some point you have an idea about what it's going to be about. Now, there's more details than I know about him, so I definitely want to read it. I'm almost done reading the book I've been reading now. It's called The Power of the Subconscious Mind. It's a great book.
Fancy.
It is fancy because subconscious mind is really powerful. It's how that's how you recreate yourself. You change how you have to change what's going on, not only consciously, but like subconsciously. Because like what you consciously think about is what ends up being like the way you work with the world.
Yep.
Anyways, besides this stuff, I think we got a pretty good wrap on what it's like to deal with and overcome trauma. So, any last words for the people?
Nope.
Yeah, I think if you are going through something, whatever it might be, don't be afraid to share it and talk to people. And the only way to overcome your problems is to work through it. And sometimes you have to work through it with other people. You can't just work through things on your own. And that's really important to have someone there for you. And if someone isn't gonna, like, you'll know who will be there for you and you'll know who won't really quickly. And you just have to find those people and hold on to them. Cause like, you're not gonna find a lot of real people in your life. And when you do, just like, make sure you talk to them and use communication skills, work with them, and always just be focused on the positives. I think what you seek is what you get. And that's that. Thank you all for listening. My name is Nate Sarantino. This was Carly. And this was the Freethinkers Emergence Podcast.